Looking at revival is a work of God. Revival is a work of God. Now, this text this morning is exciting to me because it's written so long ago, but yet it's for us today. I mean, what we find in these scriptures we're looking at this morning, I'll tell you what, it was for Israel then, it is for us right now this morning as we want to seek revival, pray for revival, seek God's face in earnest prayer for revival individually and as a church. And it can happen. And we want it to happen. And so let us look at these wonderful, wonderful truths as we consider the book of 2 Chronicles this morning and the subject of revival is a work of God. So we're going to be looking here this morning. We're going to bounce around a few pages here in 2 Chronicles and some other places and see what God has for us today. Let's ask God's help. Let's ask His direction as we get started today. Thank you, Father, for your blessing already in this service and down the hallway in our Sunday school time this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all that took place there and the learning and growth. We ask now that you would bless as we look into the scriptures. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now for this message. May it be given like you would do it. So I'm asking you to fill me and to deliver it and speak to our hearts and bring conviction to us this morning. Bring whatever it is that we need personally as we seek your face for revival today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first point this morning is Hezekiah set the stage for revival. King Hezekiah set the stage for revival. We are looking in chapter 29, and I want us to notice the first three verses. The first three verses. Our main text is 32 to 36, but we're looking here at point number one in verses 1 to 3. Hezekiah set the stage for revival. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. We see Hezekiah is setting the stage for revival. He's 25 as he begins to reign. He's pretty young. I can't imagine us having a 25-year-old president of the United States. And probably 99.9% of our cases, we would not want that at all. But he's young. What does the Bible tell us? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Let us be Hezekiah's today. Let us do that which is right in the sight of God, in the sight of His Word. He begins his rulership by immediately going down to the house of the Lord and getting it opened up and to begin to repair and to get back to proper worship. He opens the doors of the house of the Lord and he leads his people back to right worship. Hezekiah has watched his own father take the nation down, 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 down. He was wicked. He led Judah into false worship. And God defeated his father, King Ahaz. Look back at chapter 28 and verse number 19. 28:19, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. What was Ahaz's problem? He encouraged his people to sin. You're not going to get far that way. Do not do that. He promoted wickedness. That was his father. Thank God for this young man. He saw through that. He had good counselors. He had good advisors. He said, I am not going to continue in that. I am going to do right in the sight of the Lord. And that is what he did. He learned from his father, and he prepared his own heart to follow the Lord God, Jehovah. Fast forward to us this morning. Here we sit in Faith Chapel. You have a pastor who has this kind of a heart. I want to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and I'm doing my best to lead this congregation to revival. That is what we need. But we've got to get there. And we all must take this seriously, from myself to everyone in the pews. We must take this seriously today and every day and pray earnestly for revival to come to us personally and to the whole church. We must do that. We must do the same thing Hezekiah and those people that followed him did, and set our faces to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek him for revival. Point number two, the people followed Hezekiah and repented. The people followed Hezekiah and repented. 2 Chronicles 29, 4 through 35. Now, I'm not going to read all of those verses, but I am going to read those that I penciled in my Bible. 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 5. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed, and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Verse number 10. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasai, and Joel, the son, and so forth, and all these guys, they got with the program. Verse number 17, Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Verse number 20, Then Hezekiah the king rose early, and gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks, and 7 rams, and 7 lambs, and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, and for the sanctuary, and for Judah. And he commanded the priests of the sons of Aaron to offer them on the altar of the Lord. Verse 28, And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings unto the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. We see a mighty turning to God. Hezekiah led his people, and they followed him in revival. We see here a mighty moving of God in the hearts of his people, Judah. They got rid of the idolatry. They cleansed the house of the Lord. They got all the old refuse out of there. and they cleansed it, and they cleaned it up. And before they did that, they got themselves cleansed and sanctified of all the wretchedness that they had. And they worshiped the God who delivered them from Egypt, not those idols that did absolutely nothing. We see here a miraculous moving of God amongst his people in Judah. The people acknowledged their sin. They recognized that their sin was an affront to the holiness of God. And as we get to our prayer life, we need to do the same thing. We need to acknowledge our sin before God. We need to ask him to point out those little rotten things in our lives that we have not been dealing with. And they have got to go. We have got to be sanctified. We've got to be cleansed so that God can see that and bring a revival. They put away their sin. And as this is going on, the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit is working and moving in the hearts of his people there in Judah. God is drawing his errant children back to himself, and they're coming. It was a wonder to behold. What we're reading here is a wonder to behold. And it is a wonder that needs to happen here this morning and all across the United States of America. God can do the same thing for us here today. He's done it before. He's done it multitudes of times down through the centuries of the church. We are no different than anybody else who's ever lived on this earth. God can do it again. It is time for God to do it again. Question is, are you ready for God to do it again? Are you ready yourself for God to work a revival within your heart today? Are you ready for God to work in this church here this morning? Have you determined that you're going to be on the revival train of Faith Chapel? We've all got to decide that we're going to get on that train and that we are going to get with God about this and beg him to make it happen. Point number three, God brought revival, get this, suddenly. God brought revival suddenly. Suddenly means quick, in the twinkling of an eye. Bam! It happened. And it happened because God's people got with the program. And God worked suddenly. Our main text, chapter 29, verses 32 to 36. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks and 100 rams and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. It wasn't that a pity? And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was, notice, set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Key word, suddenly. When God saw that the people had gotten their hearts right with him and took the necessary steps that they needed to take, God brought revival suddenly. That's how revival happens. It's bam, it's there. We must prepare. We must all prepare. Instantly, quickly, in the twinkling of an eye, it was fast. This whole revival started with King Hezekiah, first himself, then moving the people towards revival. They got right, they did what the king asked, and God saw that, and he moved suddenly, quickly, boom. That's what I want to see today. I want to see that. It was miraculous. Revival's a miracle of God. God is watching us this morning. He is taking notes. He's going to know immediately when we as a church are ready for revival, and it will come suddenly. Just like that. Revival is a miracle of God in response to hearts that have moved back to Him. That's what we've got to do. Point number four, getting serious about revival. Getting serious about revival. Sin must be confessed and forsaken. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a power verse that we've got to embrace. God immediately answers sincerely repentant, contrite prayers. God answers those prayers. Sin pollutes. Sin is like a glass of beautiful spring water and taking a teaspoon of dirt and dumping it in there and spinning that around. Dirt's got to go. Dirt's got to go. Sin is a pollution. We've got to be cleansed from our sins. The Levites and the priests had to be sanctified before they could offer those burnt offerings. The priests and the Levites had to get right. They had to get cleansed before they could serve. And as we read, a bunch of the priests were slow. They were so slow that the Levites had to jump in there because they were ready. They had cleansed their hearts. They were sanctified. And you know, that's not a quick prayer. Revival, it's not quick in our hearts. We have to really deal with God. Deal with our hearts. Begging the Holy Spirit to reveal what is wrong there, so that we can become what we ought to be. It's an acknowledgement in prayer of our sin, and it must be removed and replaced. It has to be put out of our lives. Commentator Adam Clark says this, very, very powerful words, "Few are pardoned because they do not feel and confess their sins. And few are sanctified or cleansed from all sin because they do not feel and confess their own sore and the plague of their hearts." That's a very strong, powerful, true statement. Oftentimes, as Christians, we have sin going on, but we won't call it that. We'll justify it. We live in a country of justified sin. Just look at the abortion issue. It started small. It started with restraints. But now it has grown so we can just kill them right before they're born or even after. And next, it will be euthanizing senior citizens. That's the next step. If we don't get a revival in this country, that's where we're going. And it will lie. The fault will lie in this pulpit and every pulpit who is not preaching against sin and preaching on salvation. We've got a lot of big-time preachers today, and they're not preaching on sin. Well, that might offend somebody. That's the idea! There's this place called hell. And then the lake of fire that never ends. And we don't want to go there. I don't want anybody else to go there. And until sin is acknowledged, that's where they're going. So it must be preached. When the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts about matters that we need to deal with, we must respond immediately. That's our problem. The Holy Spirit says, this is wrong. You're not doing this. You should not be doing that. And we think about it, and we rationalize it, and we never deal with it. That's a big problem in our country today. We must respond immediately. It is the grace and power of the Holy Spirit that alerts us about our sin, and we must deal with it when the Holy Spirit tells us about it in our hearts. When that is done, then 1 John 5:14 and 15 will become a reality in our hearts, meaning what the Bible says there is then our prayers are going to be answered. That's when our prayers are going to be answered. That's when we will become real in our lives and not before. When we truly repent and confess our sins and forsake them, God's reviving power comes suddenly. I want that. I want that. Do you want that? Man, I just want to see God work suddenly. I just want to see, bang, boom, there it is. It's happening. We have talked about revivals before. We've talked about revivals of history. Matt Galvin talked about revivals of history. Every single one, it was suddenly. Suddenly. Boom, there it is. They left the church, the preacher's outside with another man who was praying for revival in his barn for years and years and years. And the preacher said, I don't think much happened tonight. And the other guy said, look down the hill. And the parishioners were falling on their face before God as they went home. Suddenly, revival broke out. When that happens, we have truly repented of our sin, we've confessed them, we've forsaken them, revival power comes suddenly, and then there is joy and fruit unspeakable. I want to go to the Old Testament as we wind down to the book of Hosea. Daniel, Hosea, chapter 14. Verses 1 through 4. Hosea 14, another time of begging for revival. Hosea 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Verse 1 is the plea for revival. The plea for revival. Revival. Instead of killing a calf, I'm going to confess my sins. It happens in verse number 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Words of praise to God. Verse number 3, Asher, that's Assyria, shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. We will not trust in the cavalry of Egypt. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I renounce my false confidence in foreigners and seek only you, God. Verse number 4, God's response, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. When you get right with God and your relationship is restored, revival will come suddenly. Shall we pray? Father, this morning we have looked at a very, very strong passage of Scripture on revival. Father, we need revival this morning. I need it. We all need it. Will you, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, set our faces towards revival, towards sanctification, towards confession and renewal? Will you do that? Will you please do that for me and for all of us here this morning? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.